The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. During my years here, I've mentioned in several sermons a nickname we Lutherans have acquired. It's not a terrible nickname, but it's not exactly complimentary. Anyone have a guess? Yes, the Frozen Chosen. Now, you might think this nickname has become attached to us because Lutheranism got its start in Europe, took hold in Nordic countries such as Norway, Finland, and Sweden, and is identified strongly with places such as North Dakota and Minnesota, the second and third coldest states in the nation, and the only two states where Lutherans are in the plurality. But alas, we Lutherans have earned the chilly moniker of the Frozen Chosen not because of our preferred climate, but because of our personality. We are perceived as formal, reserved, intellectual, rigid, and, well, cold. In contrast to our warmly enthusiastic brothers and sisters from the Baptist Pentecostal wing of the Christian church, we are extremely unlikely to shout amen during worship, encourage the guy or gal in the pulpit to preach it during the sermon, wave our arms in the air or dance in the aisles during a rousing hymn, or thank the choir for a moving anthem with a standing ovation. Though, on occasion, we Lutherans are known to respond to a joke with a loud smile. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We're celebrating the day of Pentecost today, and so we hear again one of the most familiar passages from the book of Acts, the story of the birth of the church. It is a dramatic story. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The writer of Acts tells us that what went on was so bewildering and amazing and astonishing and perplexing that people thought everyone involved was drunk. And it was so powerful that before that day was over, and this information comes a few verses after our reading for this morning ends, before that day was over, 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000! Maybe we should be doing a little bit more shouting out and dancing in the aisles around here. We often call Pentecost Sunday the birthday of the church. Some congregations will actually hold parties this morning. They'll have a cake with candles at their coffee hour. They'll sing happy birthday to Jesus' community of believers, even have some streamers and balloons around the building. And there's certainly nothing wrong with having a birthday party for the church, but it does make it seem like our yearly celebration of the day of Pentecost, is about something that happened long, long ago and is over. Something we look back through history to find and recall and then put away again for another year. Yep, we say that must have been quite a day. There was so much energy back then, so much excitement. Jesus had just died and was raised from the dead only 50 days before. And now that story was flying around. Did you hear? Christ is alive. The community that started out with people who had met Jesus, who had followed him, been healed by him, heard him teach, that community was growing day by day as news of Jesus' resurrection spread. Now, the disciples are gathered together. And who knows what they think will happen, can happen. Do they remember all the times Jesus had promised them that God's Spirit would come to them, that they would never be alone? Or since they had recently taken care of some organizational / administrative business, finding a replacement disciple for Judas, who is now dead and gone, are their minds on more mundane matters, like trying to come up with a mission statement or a strategic plan? Who knows what they think will happen? But then the wind and fire of God comes and changes everything. The good news for us frozen chosen is that it still does. Holy wind that blew over the waters of creation at the very beginning, the wind that crashed 2,000 years ago into a house full of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, that wind still whirls around us. And God's fire, that same fire that lit up the night as Moses and the people of Israel fled Pharaoh, that danced on the heads of believers gathered together in a room just weeks after Jesus' death and resurrection, well, it still burns all these millennia later. The divine and glorious wind and fire of God just manifests itself differently in different times and places. Honestly, I'd find it a bit weird if God's Spirit led the people of First Evangelical Lutheran Church of Carlisle to suddenly start shouting, "Preach it, sister," during my sermons. And if y'all started regularly dancing in the aisles during our cantor stands preludes or postludes, the rest of us would absolutely think you had gotten into the communion wine a little early in the day. But God's Spirit moves people in other ways to do other things. For almost 13 years, I have been privileged to see God's Spirit moving around and among and through the people of First Lutheran, no question. God's Spirit moves you to gather together, to study the scriptures, to make beautiful music, to share the faith with our younger members. God's Spirit moves you to sew quilts, to envelop people around the world with warmth, to donate stuffed animals, to comfort children who have suffered trauma, to deliver flowers to folks recovering from illness or accident. God's Spirit moves you to feed our Carlisle neighbors at my brother's table and to provide a safe and accessible space in our building for community support groups to meet. God's Spirit moved you to donate the building next door for low-income housing. 3 veterans now live in the apartments in 132 East High Street. God's Spirit has been moving you to support our missionaries, the Swansons in Tanzania, generously. What a joy our Share Hope, Save Lives fundraising campaign has been so far. We'll ask you to keep the donations coming. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for all the other ways God's Spirit continues to move you to prayer, to compassion, to service. The church festival we call the Day of Pentecost will be behind us quickly. The red pyramids will disappear until Reformation Sunday, the whole way at the end of October. The geraniums that grace our chancel today will be planted outside this week, and we'll get to the point that we don't even notice them as we walk by. But the Pentecost promise is this: God's wind and fire will keep moving around and among and through us, inspiring us to worship, welcome, witness, teach, and serve in the name of Jesus Christ. That is our mission and the great good news we live by. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.